What's up, Peace of Minders? I just wanted to give you all a heads up and let you know that this is going to be a two-part episode with Miss B. You are welcome to find her at bcrafty33 at Twitter and bcrafty on Twitch if you'd like to get in touch with her before the second part of the episode, but you'll also hear her shout herself out in the second part of the episode as well. So I just want to give you all a heads up, and thanks so much for listening. I appreciate you all so much. What's up, Podcast Nation? This is Aren't You Funny, a.k.a. Drew. I am a mental health therapist by day and a gamer by night. So we broadcast this podcast live on Twitch every Tuesday we get the chance. And hopefully that'll be for a really long time. So though I am a mental health therapist by day, the intention of this podcast isn't to replace anything you've got going on mental health-wise currently, whatever treatments you may be involved in or whatever, you know, outreach you may be doing with people or whatever the case may be. This isn't to replace any of that. This is purely just for food for thought, things to think about, give you different perspectives, maybe give you some different ways to deal with things that can improve your quality of life. So that's the intention of this podcast. And I think sometimes that means that we'll be covering really difficult material, and it's really hard to consume that material sometimes because you're like, you know what, this is really intense, or this is really graphic, or whatever the case may be. But I think sometimes being able to push through that and being able to listen to it and experience it can make you a stronger person or give you a different appreciation for things or whatever the case may be. But if you feel like you need to skip an episode for that purpose or for whatever reason, I completely understand because, you know, I've had similar experiences myself. But speaking of difficult material, I think something to keep in mind with this is that if you do decide to reach out to me for whatever reason, or if even if you're just thinking about hurting yourself in general, I'm not going to be the best resource for that as much as I'd love to be. Instead, I highly recommend that you reach out to some professional assistance, whether it be the National Suicide Hotline, or if it just means you Googling your city and then crisis services in your area, and they'll be able to be a much better resource than I am, just because I'm some random guy on the internet that may not be able to get back to you and probably won't be able to give you the kind of help that you need in that moment. So I love to hear from people, and I encourage you to reach out, because one of the things that we talked about in a previous episode was reaching out to support people. However, I'm probably not going to be the best source of support in that moment. I think there are definitely better outlets. So, with all of that being said, we have a super special guest today, Miss B. She is somebody that I met pretty recently, actually, now that I think about it. But she's quickly become a very good friend and someone that I hold very dear. So hopefully she feels the same way, because I just put it out there. B, would you mind kind of giving everybody an idea of how we met, since I really honestly don't know?
Well, we actually met, I think it was in a party with Kit, or in Kit's chat.
That sounds about right. So Kit is another very active member of the Twitch community that I'm a part of, and she's also a fellow streamer and whatnot as well, just for those of you that don't know.
Love you, Katari.
That's right. So yeah, we were in a party together with Miss Kit.
Yeah, I think we were playing on PUBG, and you were kind of showing me how to play, and it was pretty cool, because I think it was like my third game or something.
So that's coming back to me.
Yeah, I think it was my third game in PUBG, and I appreciated that you were so patient with me. I was like, I don't know how to do this.
Absolutely.
I was like, what do I do here? And I died like instantly.
of course, as is the case. So for those of you that are not of the gaming world, PUBG is essentially a battle royale game where you face off against in the high 90s of other people, and you try to compete and shoot your way to the top, basically. But yeah, so B over here was still kind of learning the ropes, which I think now that you mention that, I'd been told that you'd played like a total of 12 hours in the game, if that.
I don't even think it was that long. I think it was maybe like 20 minutes.
Okay, so it definitely wasn't as much as I thought. So she was very new to the game, and I was like, well, you know, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert, but I at least know a little bit about it, so I'll try and help how I can. And you were super patient with me, too, so I tend to get into, like, super excite mode, and I tend to overload people with information when I'm trying to be super helpful, because I'm like, ooh, I get a teaching opportunity, this is awesome, you know, so I think you were super patient with me, and you're like, all right, well, whatever, I'm going to just chill with this guy. So, I appreciate
it was,
that.
It was awesome. It was a good time.
Absolutely.
I always have fun playing games with you.
Absolutely. So, so that's kind of how we met, for those of you that don't know who B is. But, so I think one of the things that we had talked about when we were discussing your episode, and we were like, okay, well, you know, while I know that you can provide something valuable for everybody, you were a little unsure of, like, you know, how do I even begin to do this, and I think that we had kind of come to the conclusion that rolling with the punches was going to be kind of the main idea behind today.
Because I definitely had to take major adjustments in my life.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I, you know, I know that we already talked about this briefly, but that you definitely had a lot of challenges in your life and a lot of adjustments and changes. And so, you know, I know that one of the things that we had talked about and with this episode in particular was the idea of rolling with punches. And then on top of that, kind of looking at the difference between between expectations and where life ends up taking you and dealing with the adjustment that it takes for that. And and that being the main idea behind rolling with the punches. So you want to kind of take it from here and let me be your fellow passenger.
I guess the major hit was I was 11, and I had a brain aneurysm, and it was pretty difficult, because when I came to, I didn't know who I was, I didn't know where I was, and I had to relearn how to do a lot of things like talk, and I had to relearn how to walk, and I had to relearn how to hold a pencil, and all the stuff that goes along with
fine motor skills,
right? Yeah, fine motor skills, memory skills, and things like that. And then I was like, okay, everything is going all right, and it really gave me the love for wanting to be a doctor.
Absolutely.
So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna work really hard, and I want to help people, and I want to be a doctor, and I want to, you know, this is my path. And I had always been pretty ambitious, but, well, at least my dad told me that I'd always been pretty ambitious.
Yeah, sure.
Because I don't really remember before 11 years old. I don't, it's very spotty. The things that I remember.
Even to this day.
Even to this day, it's really difficult to remember. It's kind of like, do I remember that from stories people have said, or do I remember it because I remember it firsthand?
Absolutely.
But when I was about, I think it was 12 or 13, my dad was diagnosed with melanoma on his cheek. And, so we went and, he got that taken care of. And they didn't catch it all. They said that there was a chance that some of it broke away and it settled in his lower intestine, colon, liver, pancreas areas. lower body areas. And,
yeah.
And it just kind of settled in and took root. And while my dad was going through chemo, he couldn't really, my brothers were old enough to really take care of themselves. But since I was like 12, almost 13, I couldn't really, you know, I relied on him a lot. And sure. So he was like, you know, honey, you're going to have to go and stay with your mom for a little bit while I take care of this. And so I was like, well, you know, I don't really know my mom.
Yeah. Yeah. How's this supposed to work? My dad was a single parent all his
life. Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm living in Illinois. Well, how am I supposed to get to Virginia?
Right.
And so it was uprooting and living with mom. And I was like, okay, well, all right.
Guess this is what I'm doing now.
So I kind of, right, exactly. I'm doing this now. Okay, I live in Virginia. I have to learn how to talk with a Southern girl.
Sure.
So my mom is one of those moms or one of those people that want to be your best friend and serve your parent.
Sure.
So and my dad was very parent, you know, here's structure, rules, live in this space and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And my mom was pretty much like, yeah, we could do whatever. Let's go out to eat. Let's not. Let's, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And so that was an adjustment. And when I was 16, my dad passed.
Yeah.
And so my dad made my mom promise me that we weren't going to move around a lot. And so she was like, yeah, whatever. We won't move around. And as soon as he passed away, we started moving.
Yeah.
And I went to five high schools in 2 years. Well, five high school buildings. Six high schools counting homeschool.
Yeah.
I caught mono at my fourth high school and had to be homeschooled for 3 months while I was recovering from mono. And then by the time I got out of that, I just didn't care because I was like, I was straight A student in my freshman sophomore year of high school. I was a straight A student, and my first year of junior year, I went down to D's, and then after my dad passed, well, that was after my dad passed. I went to D's and then I got expelled. I was really, really dumb and I smoked weed on the school property at a school dance. And of course that's a no-no.
Right. Yeah. They're not exactly going to be thrilled about that.
Right. Exactly. And so I, you know, rightfully so, I owned up to it and I was like, yeah, I did. And I got expelled from school. And at that point of my life, I was like, okay, what is relationships? What is life? Yeah. What is, you know, that any 17 and a half year old would ask.
Sure.
So I took to the internet and started talking in chat rooms because, you know, wherever you live in the United States, you can always chat with people online and you can form relationships with these people and take them with you.
Yeah.
Because the people that I was meeting face to face, I was having to get to know very quickly and then quickly saying goodbye to them.
Yeah. Knowing that you were probably not going to be there very long.
Right. Yeah. I didn't even bother making friendships in the last couple of high schools because I was like, people wanted to be my friend, but I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I may not be here long enough to remember your name. So,
which then of course comes off as like super stuck up. And you're like, oh, okay,
It does. But then I've got to explain, you know, every 6 weeks, you know, I haven't been in a high school more than 6 weeks in the last 2 years.
Right. So, by no fault of my own.
Right, exactly. I mean, and my mom had the coolest job. She did a kick-ass job.
Yeah.
She did electrical designing for like big companies.
Yeah.
And she did like blueprints and 3D modeling, and it was the coolest job. I love sitting there watching her do it, but I hated the repercussions of having to move from place to place.
Right.
And so when I turned 18, my mom was like, yeah, you stay here, get your GED. I was in South Carolina. I was in nowhere, South Carolina, like literally nowhere. There was a bar up the street called Nowhere and a gas station next door called Somewhere.
Yeah.
Like literally nowhere, South yeah. Carolina.
Nowhere.
And I walked to the gas station like daily or every other day to get like a drink or whatever. And it was like a half mile up the street. And, so there was really no prospects. I didn't have my license. I didn't have a job. I didn't, you know, I didn't have my education, just junior year education.
Yeah.
And I turn 18 and my mom's like, okay, I'm going to Virginia. You stay here. I'm only going to be there for a couple of weeks. There's no reason for you to come with me, you know, because you're just going to be just sitting in an apartment for 2 weeks. You've got your friends here, da, 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 da. And I was like, oh, my mom's finally being kind of considerate. You know, she's being really cool about this. You know, we're keeping this place in South Carolina. Maybe we're going to stay for a little while. And then she calls me. We talked like every few days. And she calls me up and she says, well, you know, my contract's going to be a little bit longer than I expected. They want me to stay on for a year. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, when am I coming to Virginia? She was like, well, that's the thing. She said, you're 18 now. So it's time for you to be an adult. And it is time for you to either sink or swim, sweetheart. And that will always be in my head. She's like, it's time for you to sink or swim. So, you know, you've got another week of electricity at the trailer, and your last social security check is going to come in, it was like a couple more days or something like that. And she said, you better find a place to live because I'm selling the trailer.
Oh like, my.
What? I'm like, oh my. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I was like, are you serious? No, it's November.
Jeez.
And so I was like, all right. So after I had my little breakdown of, oh God, she's leaving me again. And this is, where the hell am I going to live?
Right. And,
I'm an adult and I don't even know what this means.
Right.
And so I had a friend, her name was Heather, and her mom was the landlord of the trailer that we were living in. And she was like, man, that is the crappiest thing I've ever heard of any mother ever doing besides leaving their baby on the doorstep. And she was like, you're going to come and stay with us until you can get on your feet.
And oh, thank
like,
goodness.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Right.
Like, oh my God. Thank you.
Oh.
And so, I packed up my stuff and they came and got me, like 2 days later. And so it was interesting because, you know, I knew how to move. I knew how to pack. I knew how to,
well, sure,
how to resettle in a new place because I've done it like 8 times.
Right. In 2 years.
Right. Exactly. And so I was just like, okay, this is something I got to do.
Right. This is life now.
Yeah, this is life now. And I've had to have that this is life now moment times. And so I was just like, whatever. And so my first impression with Heather's parents was interesting. They're really nice people. Really, really, really nice people. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But they didn't treat me like a teenager. They treated me as an adult. And
sure.
They were like, okay, so you've been here a couple of days. What are you going to do? I don't know. I've never had a job before. I don't know. And so there was a Waffle House up the street. And it was within walking distance because they were like, yeah, we're not going to take you places. And, you know, you're an adult.
Right.
You know, if you need to go to the grocery store and we're going that way, then yeah, we'll give you a ride. But you know,
yeah, if it's mutually beneficial.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And she was like, you know, you can have dinner with us, you know, if we make enough. And it was pretty much roommate. You know, I was renting a room from them.
Yeah, and in the most literal of senses.
Exactly, exactly. And I was sharing the room with Heather, so I was renting a half a room.
Jeez.
And so, I was very, very, very shy. I was like the girl that was picked on in school for not talking to anybody.
Well, sure. Which they didn't know was perfectly reasonable. But
right.
You're like, well, it's kind of a functional thing. Like, this is how I cope.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, so where are their jobs? What can I do? I don't even have a GED. I don't have.
Right.
Anything.
How do I manage a bank account? Like.
Right. I don't even know how to
right.
fill out checks. What
right.
the hell am I doing?
Right.
And so Heather was working at Waffle House, and she was like, yeah, I talked to the manager up here, and he said that you could train, and if you are good at the job, then you can stay. And I was like, I don't even know how to talk to people.
Right.
This is Waffle House. This is... you talk to everyone that comes in through the door type of place. I mean,
uh-huh.
I love Waffle House. Oh,
yeah.
God, I love Waffle House.
Absolutely.
Just from the atmosphere. And I was like, how does this translate to me being able to do this job?
Right.
And so
I do not feel qualified.
I'm not qualified for this job. I don't even like talking to people. And So my first day at Waffle House was very, very deer in headlights.
Oh yeah.
And everyone could see that I was like a deer in headlights. I was literally wide-eyed looking at people, and I was like, what do I do?
So please tell me that at least people took mercy on you.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Good. They were like, sweetheart, you look so scared. I was like, this is my first job.
By the way, you totally know it's from the South because they said sweetheart. So just throwing that one out there.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so I was like, this is my first job. And of course, I had to learn the Waffle House lingo.
Of course.
You know, calling out the orders and things, and having a brain aneurysm and having very short-term and long-term memory loss.
Yeah.
Like, I could forget somebody's name in 5 seconds.
Well,
and
yeah.
I'm like, well,
how does everybody, this work?
Yeah. And so every time I tell somebody that I forget names and dates and all that stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, everybody does. I was like, no.
Seriously. You don't even begin to get it.
I was like, seriously, I could say your name 3 times, write it down on the blackboard, and look at your face and say, who are you?
Yes.
And no, you don't understand the depth. I'm like, if you've ever seen that movie,
50 First Dates.
If you've ever seen the movie 50 First Dates, 10 Second Tom, that was
absolutely
me.
Absolutely.
And so I had notebooks after notebooks of notes of, okay, this is this step, you know, each step to each table, and this is my section for the day. And I literally had to draw a map of the restaurant every single day. There were so many things that I had to do to just remember what I was supposed to do. And, but, you know, Waffle House quickly became my absolute favorite job.
Well, yeah.
Because I had my own money. People appreciated me. They appreciated what I was doing. You know, I got to talking with people is not as scary as I had imagined.
Sure. I mean, I'd say the majority of it probably had to deal with you being completely out of practice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so talking to people got to be easy, and then meeting different types of people was very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
The Waffle House that I worked at, it was right in between a bar and a hotel. It was right in between a bar and a hotel. So you got the bar people at 2 a.m, which I absolutely love. My drunk people. and then you had the random people who came over from the hotel.
Yeah.
And you got to meet all sorts of people. Like, there was Battle of the Bands. There was, like, I got to meet a couple of bands. That was really freaking awesome.
Missed connections over here.
I know, right? And it really drove me when people would give me good tips, because it would really encourage me that, you know, okay, I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm doing a good job here.
Absolutely.
And so about 6 months, I'd say about 6 months into landing on my feet, you know, my mom said, sink or swim. Baby, I swam.
You swam a marathon.
I swam. And so about 6 months into landing on my feet and having my own apartment, because I moved out of Heather's parents' house, and Heather and I moved into an apartment together, and we were like two kids in a candy store.
Oh yeah.
Because it was the most amazing thing. That
it's our own space, and
right?
Yeah.
We had our own spot, you know, who's getting groceries. You didn't take out the garbage today.
You
know,
like, you suck as a roommate.
Stop wearing my clothes, you know.
Oh yeah. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, it's cool, we can even fight about this. Like, this is great.
Exactly. I always wanted a sister.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. And then my mom comes and she tells me that she was diagnosed with emphysema. And she drove from Virginia to South Carolina to come and see me. Because I didn't have a phone. I wasn't making enough money. I was just barely making rent, and I was and rent and fun money.
Yeah.
I had to have my nails right.
Oh, of course.
I just had to. And Heather introduced me to eyebrow waxing.
Okay.
And I was addicted to, I was like, every week I gotta go get my eyebrows waxed.
Sure.
And so it was interesting, and I was happy that I could provide for myself. And stand on my own feet, manage my own money, because I'd never done that before.
And a couple of creature comforts on top of that.
Exactly. I mean, I don't care that our apartment only had a TV with no cable, a radio, and two beds. I don't care.
Hey, nope. You've got a spot.
At least we have beds.
Exactly. Beds that function.
Exactly, yes. Have drawers and everything.
Absolutely.
I have drawers underneath my bed.
Oh yeah.
So it's like I didn't even need a dresser because I had drawers.
Absolutely.
And I had a steady boyfriend at the time, and I was doing really good. And when my mom dropped a bombshell, she was like, "I'm not doing good. But I've got emphysema, and I really need your help to get around my house and to keep things clean and do this and this." And I'm like, "Mom, I'm just starting my life here.
Right. I'm like, just now getting somewhere."
I was like, and of course, in the back of my mind, my dad is telling me,
"You better go.
It's your mom."
Yeah.
He said, it's your mom. And that's what my dad always distilled in me. Even though my mom wasn't around, he was like, "That's still your mom."
Yeah.
And so, of course, I went to my manager and I quit my job. And I told all of my, I had my one last day. I told all my favorite customers that I loved them. Yeah. And I made probably $300 that night. And it was the best night of my life. Because it was my last, I told them if I was going to go out, I was going to go out with a bang. I did a 17-hour show. Woo!
And you were not playing around.
No, I wasn't playing around. I did 2 in the afternoon, 4 to 7 in the morning. And that was a Friday night.
Okay, so that was a bars hopping kind of night too. And
yes, exactly. I knew all my favorite customers were going to be there, and I just had to tell everybody bye.
Well, sure.
And so, you know, my mom even came by at like 4 in the morning to have an omelet and everything. It was really great. The last night of Waffle House was fantastic. And I told him that as soon as my mom was better, I would be back. Because I love Waffle House. Waffle House is life. And I wasn't back.
Yeah.
My mom needed me. And then I met my husband. And then, you know, happily ever after and all that stuff. But, of course. the thing that I've learned in life is that you can never ever expect to know what you're going to be doing the next day.
Yeah.
I mean, you could plan.
Yeah.
Because I planned. I planned on being a doctor. I planned on graduating high school. I planned on going to college. I planned on being successful. But, you know, life happens.
Yeah, life had other plans.
Yeah, exactly. And I spent a good portion of my adult life being extremely depressed because sure. I wasn't a doctor. And it was, I went and I sought help because I knew I was in a place where I just couldn't.
Yeah.
And there was like this huge stigma about people seeking help and going and seeing a psychiatrist or psychologist or even a counselor.
Yeah.
But I went to my doctor one day and I was like, I need this. I need to talk to somebody.
Yeah, things aren't right.
Yeah, because after having kids, you know, chemical imbalances and
sure,
and all that stuff, it was real hard.
Yeah.
And so I found this, she suggested this really fantastic doctor. His name is Brian. And he was training me to be a psychiatrist, and
yeah.
So he was doing internship, and it was him and Lydia, and they were fantastic. They were so great. And Lydia, excuse me.
You're fine.
Lydia left, and so Brian and I were just kind of sitting there going, "All right. Now what do we do?"
Yeah, we've been doing all this work, and now all that's gone.
And so he stayed on. He stayed on to be my counselor and and he gave me all these tools, all these pamphlets, all of these things to help me to not sit at home and think about all the stuff that's gone wrong.
Sure.
And to focus on the stuff that really makes me happy. And the last time I saw him, I told him I was doing Twitch and I was doing this and I was meeting all these fantastic people. And he told me he was proud of me. It was so great. It was so great that he said he was proud of me, that I had made such improvements.
Yeah.
And that I had found something that really, truly makes me happy.
Yeah.
And I sort of get to help people, because that's always what I wanted to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, doing Twitch and making the little things that I make, it's, you know, in some way, I hope that it improves somebody.
Absolutely.
It helps somebody.
Absolutely.
Because it really helps me.
Yeah.
To help others. And I told myself I wasn't going to cry.
Of course.
I was like, you're not gonna cry today, you're not gonna cry today. But after the kids were born, and I saw help with Brian, and I found out that taking medication doesn't mean you're broken.
Oh, absolutely not.
Because when I was living with Heather, with my roommate, she was bipolar, and so she always had the stigma that, okay, I take my medication for a little while and I'm fixed. I don't have to take it anymore. And yeah. So she always was like, I hate taking this medicine because it makes me feel like I'm broken.
Yeah.
And I had never been on medication before. I had never even taken a Tylenol 3. It was just something that I picked up that, okay, well, you know, if you're on bipolar meds or if you're on depression medication, then there's something wrong with you. And it's just so not so.
Yeah.
Because when you have trauma in your life, you can't help the scars.
No. No, no.
And so, you know, if certain medications are right, because I went through a lot of that, you know, okay, this makes me too sleepy, that one makes me, that I have bad reaction to this one, I found out what I was allergic to the hard way. And so it was just a realization that you can have depression, but you don't have to be depressed.
Yeah. It's kind of what you choose to do with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just suggest to everyone that is having issues to go and talk to somebody. You know, if it's not a professional, then talk to your best friend. And if they're not giving you, I don't want to say if they're not helping you solve the problem.
But if they're not supportive.
If they're not being supportive, if they're not uplifting you, if they're not being there for you, or giving you tools to help you get out of the rut that you're in, then go and see somebody professional, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing.
No.
Because I talked to Brian for 2 years. And it was, I had a postpartum depression, and it was great because, you know, he really challenged me to not think about the bad things. To, sure. Okay, you thought about the bad thing. What good thing can you do to close that gate of the bad? He had this whole scenario of opening and closing gates.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you know, you've got this going on. What can you do to combat this bad thing?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'd always been a pretty crafty person. So he was like, yeah, just dive into your crafts.
Yeah. He's like, if you create.
Be creative. And so that's really where Be Crafty spawned.
Okay.
Was from, Brian telling me to be creative, and I was like, you know what? I really like bees. I like being crafty.
This is perfect fit.
This is kind of perfect.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's like part of me.
Yeah.
And it's an awesome thing that you can go through things and it not be, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, you can get to the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. Knowing that there really is a light at the end of the tunnel, knowing that, you know, there is the possibility of moving past this thing that's going on in your life, no matter how horrible it is,
kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I wanted to share.
Fair enough.
Did anybody have any like questions or anything in chat or whatever? I don't know. I'm kind of antsy right now.
It's all good. So I think a couple of things that you touched on make a lot of sense, and that I think a lot of times we end up with this idea that, you know, because I'm having struggles, or because I'm experiencing this bad thing, that must mean that I'm broken. Or this must mean that I'm a weirdo, or that I'll never be normal, or, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, there's a thousand thoughts that can go through our heads, but essentially, yeah. You know, there's all these thoughts and things that happen, and it's really, it couldn't be further from the truth, because I think, you know, having those struggles is part of what makes us human. Is part of what makes us real people. And like you said, you know, and I think Bailey in his episode touched on this really well, as also in saying that, like, you know, look, even if you don't decide to go talk to a professional, even if you don't decide that that's in the cards for you, or, you know, whatever the case may be, reach out to somebody. And whether it's a support person or whoever, much like you were talking about, like, find somebody that has a positive impact on your life and hang on to them and use them as a support, because otherwise, like, why are we even there? Why are we even considered friends in the first place? Like, why even bother saying, like, oh yeah, we're friends, if you're not really going to be there for each other? You know, what purpose does that serve? I think that was one of the.
Go ahead. Definitely learned about fake friends and all that in going through the different high schools and working at a restaurant You know, there's a difference between work friends and friends that'll be there for you, and and I hate it when people get upset when I tell them, yeah, this is my acquaintance.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, we're not friends.
Right, right. How real do I be with these people?
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like, I know you, but yeah. You don't know.
Oh, yeah, we work together. Yeah, but we like talk and stuff. Yeah, that too. We talk. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's another thing that I think I covered that in one of the episodes, like episode one or two, of like, you know, knowing, okay, well, where do people really sit and how much do I trust them? And again, that kind of return on investment thing, to just kind of put a business spin on it of like, you know, I'm investing this much time and energy, and am I getting anything remotely similar out of it? And if not, you know, do I need to adjust my expectations, or what do I need to do? So
I think that
makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And touching on something that Sam had said, or isn't that Sam?
Yes. Yeah.
Touching on something that Sam said, that you can be honest with your therapist. Because you have to know that it's not gonna leave that office, whatever you say.
Yeah.
Because A, they can't say anything to anybody. Not unless like you're gonna hurt yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
But two, it helps them to help you if they know what's going on. If they know what's going on in your head, or if they know what's going on in your life, or your struggles, it helps them to help you.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I don't want to dive too much into this because I don't want to turn it into like I'm a therapist, let me sit here and vent about what it's like to be a therapist or whatever. But I think what you say is absolutely 100% true, because ultimately, like, we as therapists only have a small snapshot of your life. And we're realistic about that. We know that. Like, as much as we may discuss, like, oh, okay, well, I have crippling depression, and, you know, all the coping skills that we can talk about to help make things better and all those different things, it's all still based on your perspective. And even when we get outside points of view about what's going on with you, it's still tainted in the sense that, like, okay, well, I'm not seeing it firsthand. And even then, that's just my view on what's going on. That doesn't necessarily make it right. So the point being with all of that is, the more information that we can get, the more that we can get to what's going on and help. Because ultimately, like, I may have an idea of what's going on with you, but I don't know until you tell me what's going on, and then we can work together. Because if I'm operating off of 10% of the real truth, then that's only 10% of what's going on that I can help with. Mm-hmm. The rest of it, I have to take guesses, and that's not good for anybody.
Well, I mean, I think about it like this, and Olivia, no, what's her name? Anyway, the female therapist I was seeing, she had said it like this. She said, you wouldn't go to the emergency room knowing that you have a broken foot, just saying that you have foot pain.
Right. Exactly.
You wouldn't go there and just say my toe hurts. Yeah. If your leg was lopped off or something. I mean, the more information, I mean, and I know that that's a very literal, you know, you can see that it's broken and all that.
Yeah.
But emotions and personalities and experiences can't be seen.
No.
As readily as like a broken foot.
No, and I mean, you know, we as therapists are trained to look for signs, but ultimately it's just that. It's just signs. It's not, oh, this is what's really going on. We can say, okay, well, this might be what's going on.
So, I mean, the more information your therapist has, the better you're going to get in help.
Absolutely. I could not have said it better myself. Thank you so much.
I mean, it's the absolute truth, because I mean, like, you go to somebody for help and they want to help you, and you know, it's a good thing. It really is a good thing that, that somebody, you know, even if it's their job, you know, it's their job for a reason, but, you know, they want to be there for you. So.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing about it too, again, you know, without diving into this too much, because I don't want to like completely change where you want the episode to go. But I think one thing to consider with this too is that just because you've gone to a therapist and doesn't mean that you're automatically going to click. And it may be that somebody that's very highly recommended or somebody that, you know, oh, well, my friend went to this person or whoever, that doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. Sometimes you have to kind of shop around a little bit and find somebody that you do gel with. And there's no shame in that either. And we as therapists know that. Like, we know that while I may be very inclined and want to help everybody that walks through the door, I know that realistically I'm not going to be able to because I'm not going to click with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really, really lucky to click with the two that I got.
Absolutely. And
the first one that I had, because I had seen one when I was a child, when I was younger, that's a different episode.
Yeah.
But we didn't get along. I did not like a therapist. I was like, we just didn't get along.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, what Funny said is that, you know, you could click with each of them, you know, shop around. And if you don't click immediately with the therapist that you're seeing now, it doesn't mean that all therapists are like that.
No.
It doesn't mean that they're all trained or whatever. Everybody has different personalities. And I was just really, really lucky to get Brian.
Yeah.
Because he was really supportive. Really amazing.
Absolutely. Well, I can't tell you the number of times that I've had people come in to meet with me during the day, and they'll come in and say, like, oh, okay, well, you know, I guess I need to do this, or I guess I need to do that, or whatever. And I'm like, what? Like, that's no, not at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm here for you. I don't, you know, like, well, my previous therapist, X, Y, Z. And I'm like, well, that's not me. Like, that's not my style. It's not what I do. Like, I see myself as a guide. I'm not somebody that's going to come in here and all of a sudden wave my magic wand and fix everything as much as I'd love to. Like, that's just not realistic. Like,
yeah.
You know what you need. I'm just here to help you find it. And
yeah, exactly.
And I end up throwing off a lot of people with that, but I'm like, look, you know, that's not me. That's not real.
Exactly.
So, so point being, you know, sometimes I've had people where they go in and they're like, okay, well, you know, this person was very upfront or very forward or very whatever. And I liked or didn't like that. And again, you know, it's different for everybody. But the point being, everybody has different styles. Everybody has different approaches. Everybody has different life experiences. And that shapes how we do everything. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know that my story is not the best and or worst, that anybody, you know, has ever had. And so, you know, if you have it better, fantastic. But if you have it worse,
yeah.
If you had it worse then, and you're not seeing somebody, then, you know, see somebody.
Yeah.
if you need to.
Yeah.
And I'm always around. I mean, Bailey knows that I'm always on Snapchat. I'm always around to talk to people. And, you know, my channel is open for honest conversations and things like that. And so, you know, if you need to talk to somebody, you know, talk to somebody.
Absolutely. Know? B is a somebody, believe it or not.
I am a somebody.
She's not a robot, I promise. But but yeah, and I think a again, we could make it an entire episode about like reasons that people should seek help and different experiences with different therapists or different professionals or what have you. But ultimately, I think the important thing is this, you know, self-awareness is everything, and knowing and recognizing when things are not going well for you and being willing to admit that to yourself is huge, because that's when you can get the help you need. That's when you can be involved with different helpers, whoever they may be, whether they're friends or professionals or whatever. But that self-awareness is everything, and being willing to have a frank conversation with yourself about, like, you know, like B was talking about earlier. Okay, you know, I'm really not where I want to be with this. I'm super depressed. I'm not myself. You know, I'm happy in some senses, but I couldn't be more miserable in others. So, you know, I need to do something about this.
Yeah. Yeah, the changing point where I was like, okay, I really need some help was where I wasn't leaving the house at, like, every 45 days or so, I would leave the house, go to Walmart or whatever. But other than that, I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to get out of bed. I had literally a library full of books. I would rather be in a book than be in real life.
Yeah.
And that was really my turning point. I was like, at the end of reading, don't judge me, at the end of reading Twilight for the seventh time.
Yeah.
The Twilight series, don't judge me.
If you're into sparkles, I'm not here to judge you for it.
I am team I know the ending.
Team I know the ending. That's pretty good.
Everybody asks me, are you team Jacob or team Edward? I'm team I know the ending.
Exactly. Team I read it.
I've read this book several times. I know I know what's going to happen. When I would rather read the Twilight series, and I did, like, from beginning. Oh, you do Midnight? That's awesome. when you read the Twilight series for the seventh time, you kind of click, and you're like, okay, why would I rather be reading the same story over and over again than going and being with my family or going to... Because I would barricade myself in my bedroom, and read. And there's a bathroom in my bedroom, and I would bring snacks in. I would not leave the bedroom.
Yeah.
And I had a TV, and John would come in and say, you know, hey, you know, we're going to town. You want to go? Nah.
Yeah.
I didn't even take a shower today. I was like, nah. The second short second life of Bree Tanner.
I'll take your word for it.
it's an off branch. It's a novella of Twilight. It's,
okay.
It's a short second life. The short second life of Bree Tanner. She got turned into a vampire and then she died.
Okay.
But it was Twilight from her perspective.
Okay.
And so after I read that, I was like, yeah, I really need to do something.
Yeah.
I need to do something other than sit in bed and read books.
Yeah.
And
you're so like, who's this person I've become? What is this? Yeah.
And so my neighbor came over and invited me to church, and it was actually perfect, because I've been kind of like, okay, I want to be involved somewhere, but where?
Yeah. You know, and how
and how and who and And yeah. I just don't want to go up to a random church and walk in and say, okay, I'm here. And, yeah. You know, so
my name is now entered the building.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I am here. Yeah. And, and so I was in the front yard and I was letting the kids play and he came over and invited me to church and I thanked him and I told him that I would love to and then that's when I started going to church and it's been a pretty amazing transformation between not leaving the house to broadcasting on Twitch.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the most publicly prying things you can do.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So, you know, you just gotta roll with it, you know?
Hey.
And I know, right? There's the title.
Roll credits. We're done.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, you just gotta roll with it, and you never know where life is gonna take you, because absolutely. You could either. There was a moment when my mom and I were moving a lot, and I would go kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where I was just kind of like, yeah, okay, this is happening.
Yeah.
And once I got to the point where I was like, yeah, this is happening and just rolling with it, it, in a sixth sense, it got easier.
Sure.
Because I wasn't fighting so much.
Sure.
And so you just, you know, life is all about change and you can't just expect life to be a certain way.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, like you said before, you can have plans and there's nothing wrong with having like ideas and what I would call like an outline of like okay, well, in general, this is kind of what I want to happen, or this is the general direction I want things to go. But also, you know, I can't remember who specifically talks about this, but about human beings and adaptability being one of our like only one of our most important traits, because mm-hmm. our ability to adapt either to something or adapt something to our needs means our survival. And so then adapting to knowing, like, okay, well, you know, I know that for me to survive, I need to do X, Y, and Z. And
yeah.
And I think accepting that and saying, okay, well, I'm not going to be in control of everything that's going on in my life, but I do have control over this, and this is how I'm going to assert my control.
Yeah. Well, what I tell my son all the time is that you can't control people or situations, but you can control on how you react to them.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many times I say that on a daily basis.
So, I mean, even though you feel like you're out of control, you still can make that conscious decision to control yourself.
Absolutely.
Or to direct into a path where somebody can help you.
Absolutely.
And, so, but yeah, I tell my son that all the time, because he's like, well, Tori did this and then I had to do this. And I'm like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't have to react like that.
Right.
No, you didn't.
You like, chose to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You chose to fly off the handle and throw a toy off the room, across the room. And now look what you did.
Yeah.
Now you hurt your bear's feelings.
Yeah, poor bear.
You hurt your teddy bear's feelings. You gotta go say sorry and pet him on the head.
You know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Teddy bears are people too.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Teddy bears have feelings too. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, but But yeah, I mean, that's in teaching my son that, I have to learn that too, because there are times that I do not react well at all, and I'm like, okay, I gotta eat my words here.
Yeah, I gotta be a model. I gotta do this too. Whatever, this sucks.
Right, responsible mom.
Yeah, absolutely.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.